Well, before we get into the message, let's just take a moment and pray for our country, shall we? For those who gave their lives for our freedom as we enjoy this Memorial Day weekend. You know, I'm reminded that as we talk about Memorial Day, and there's a lot of people questioning, you know, is it about the whole thing, the picnics and things like that, whether that should be so much of the focus. And, you know, one of my thoughts is that's the very thing that people gave their lives for, was that we might be able to enjoy those freedoms. And so I don't think they're inappropriate as long as we remember to stop and remember why we have those freedoms. Let's just take a moment and let's pray for those families who have lost loved ones in the defense of our country, who gave their lives so that their sons and daughters, their family members, their mothers and fathers could all be free. Let's pray. Father God, this morning we gather together as the people of God, as a people called together to live and love one another. And so, Lord, we pray this morning that you would be with those families who have lost their loved ones in the defense of this country and defending freedom. We pray that you would comfort the mothers, sons, and daughters, the wives and husbands of those who have lost their loved ones, who have given their lives and paid the ultimate price for the freedom of others. We pray that you would comfort them now. We pray that you would come alongside of them, that Holy Spirit, you would be their comforter, that you would be their hope. We pray also, Lord, for the provision of those who have lives have been changed, that you would meet them in all their needs, watch over them. Thank you for their sacrifice, and we pray your blessing upon these families. As we celebrate this weekend, may they forever believe and feel that we are grateful for their service. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, the video we were showing as we walked up, the little Pixar birds thing, you know, is a great illustration of the whole thing of cause and effect, isn't it? I mean, you know, when you look and they are upset and they're trying to blame the big bird for all of their problems, but when the reality is that the issues that they are having are absolutely created by their own behavior. You know, years ago, a friend of mine, I'm going to call him Roberto. I grew up along the border, and Roberto was working in a rehabilitation camp for troubled youth. Many of the kids were gang members, specifically Cholos. And, you know, Roberto took several of the most difficult students one time into a racquetball court. It was his desire to teach them cause and effect, and he thought, what a better way to teach it in an illustration, you know, than the racquetball court, throwing the ball around and showing how the ball, you know, acts in reaction to the things that they do, cause and effect. And so he was, you know, convinced that most of the kids were beginning to get it, but he noticed that one of his toughest, most difficult kids, one of the gang kids, a Cholo, you know, that didn't particularly like Roberto, was not paying attention, being difficult. So Roberto asked him if he, you know, he says, you know, listen, I get the feeling you don't like me, that you're mocking me. And the kid's like, oh, yeah, you know, I mean, like, I hate you, and I hate this. And so Roberto thinks, well, what a great way to give a lesson. So he says, listen, if you want, you can take a shot at me. You get one throw and only one throw, but you can throw the ball as hard at me as you would possibly want to. And the kid was like, well, then you're going to go tell on me. And he goes, no, you know, not going to do anything like that. You just get one shot and only one shot. And so you better make it good. And so this kid wound up, you know, he just got all wound up and he threw that ball as hard as he could at Roberto. And, you know, Roberto was no little guy. He was a pretty good sized guy. So as this guy threw, he was just anticipation and he stepped back out of the way. And that ball ricocheted off of the wall and came back and hit this big kid right in the face. And all of his buddies went running to him, and they're like yelling at Roberto, you know, it's your fault. And the other kids are going, no, it's not Roberto's fault. It's his own fault. Look, it's cause and effect. He's been trying to teach you. And, you know, they really didn't get it. You know, I mean, it was kind of a funny scenario. But, you know, here's the thing is those laws of cause and effect, oftentimes we respond to God, a lot like that big cholo responded to Roberto. We're just certain that when we do things and they come back to bite us, that it's God's fault, you know. And but listen, the laws of cause and effect, they come to us in the Bible. One is reaping and sowing. The other, in today's text specifically, is the idea of blessings and cursings. And so oftentimes the way that, you know, that cholo responds is the way we respond to God. We blame him for the things that happen. But, you know, in the middle of that, you know, is the reactions of our actions, the reactions to our actions, that they play a significant part. What we do really matters. Now, one of the things that complicates our understanding of that is simply because of the forbearance of God. That is, that God oftentimes puts up with our shenanigans in a way, waiting to see if we will turn around, trying to give us the opportunity to do differently. As well in this is that simply that God has blessed us oftentimes without any specific requirements. They are unconditional gifts. That means that they are not earned. And so if you didn't do anything to earn it, you actually can't really do anything to lose it. And so some of the blessings continue in our lives as we interact with God. The realities are for you and I that many of the things God does for us also, because they're not directly tied to those things, maybe God stops blessing, but he isn't actually doing anything to curse us. And so we kind of coast along on the blessing. Just like whenever you are driving in a car and you put your foot on the gas, and when you take your foot off the gas, or if you should run out of gas, the car doesn't just suddenly stop to, you know, come to a quick stop. It coasts along. It goes along. And so those things, the forbearance of God, the coasting and the blessings that we already have, the blessings that we have, you know, the sun shines on the just and the unjust, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, those things go on. And so we can get the impression at times that God doesn't care about what it is that we're doing or how we're behaving, when the realities are that just these things of how God works in the world are already at work and are not directly responsible for what happens. On the other hand, what we do really does matter. And so sometimes the things that we do come back to bite us in fairly short order and have something happen and God immediately responds and the blessing was conditional and he takes away the blessing. And so we see those immediate responses. But most of the time what we see is that the segue in that is something along the lines that says, you know, and 100 years later this happens, or 50 years later, or 20 years later this happened. And it's really easy for us to ignore those little segues because it's a passing comment, it seems. But it really is establishing the point that whole forbearance of God or the blessings of God take time to run their course. But what we do really does matter. So we're going to take a look today at this whole issue of blessings and cursings from Deuteronomy chapter 28. It's a very kind of simplistic theology here in this chapter. There's more that goes into this discussion. But let's take a look here. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version. Please follow along in whatever translation you have. Of course, the one on your lap's always my favorite because that's the one that you're reading. Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you're using a digital format, would you please set that to silent for the comfort of those around you? And let's begin there in Deuteronomy 28, beginning in verse 1. And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all of his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. I like those words right there. Oh, if they will come and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord. Blessed you shall be in the city, and blessed you shall be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds and of your young flocks. Blessed be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed you shall be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. And the Lord will command the blessing on you and your barns and all that you undertake. And he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And the Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you can keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruit of the womb, and in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of the ground within the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall not only go up and not down if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, being careful to do them. And if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do all of his commandments and his statutes that I've commanded you today, then all of these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed you shall be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of the womb and the fruit of your ground, the increase of your herds and among the young of your flock. Cursed you shall be when you come in, and cursed you shall be when you go out. Blessed be the reading of God's holy word. So the text here is written somewhat like a poem. Verses 1 through 6 are six blessings written in three pairs, and then verses 15 through 19, conversely, are the six curses written in three pairs to match those six blessings. The majority of the text there in the middle, of course, then is, well, I should say not just the majority, but the entire text in the middle is the threefold blessings, fruitfulness, which fall upon the children, livestock, and the produce. So here's the thing, is that really when you look at it, isn't it interesting that after the first six verses of blessing, that the majority of the text then is spent just expounding on that, so that only 15 to 19 relate to those curses. And not only are those blessings disproportionate to the actual obedience, in other words, it's not a sense of earning anything, but God just simply being faithful to them, whereas the curses are essentially just the fallout. It's not of God going out of his way, but instead it's the fallout of lifting his hand of blessing, and then the entropy of a fallen world kicks in. We live in a fallen world. There is sin, disease, and sickness at work in the world. You know, that we live in, that we who are not walking with Christ then are living under the curse, and that we who are in Christ then are living under his blessing apart from the curse, but the curse still has its effect on the earth, doesn't it? I mean, that's just the normal way that things are, is the effect of the curse is working its way through the world, and to be blessed is to escape some of the effects of the curse, but the curse is still found on the earth. And so when we're talking about that, we're really talking about cause and effect. God lifts his hand of blessing, and then the cause, the effect is that we just begin to reap the normal consequences of life, the fallen world that we live in. So otherwise, the blessings are pretty absurd. It's like getting paid for just showing up. It's the favor and the blessing of God. It's off the charts. It's disproportionate to anything that we do right or anything like that. And the curses then are just simply the fallout effect of living apart from the blessing of God. Now, like I said, it's very simplistic theology. It is not explaining, you know, issues like the problems of the fallen world. It doesn't take into account the suffering of the righteous, the works of the devil, or even the evil that's in the hearts of men. It's very basic explanation. But the central point is to drive home this idea. Listen, God wants to bless you, but he will not reward bad behavior. So message number one is just simply this: obey. I know, it's one of the funniest sounding words in the entire Bible, obey. But, you know, here is what it is really all about. It says, be careful to do all the Lord has commanded you. Obey. And even though it's a very funny sounding word, it is just this, and, you know, it is one of the primary messages throughout all of Scripture, obey. And it's also the one that we seem to most resist. It's the one word at our core that we have the hardest difficulty with. It exposes our pride, our selfishness. It is, you know, the thing that illustrates the human condition. our dislike of obedience. And as much as we dislike that simple point, here's the thing, is that it really works that way. What you do matters. Now, we as a society and a culture have done everything we can to try to explain away that whole thing. We like even, you know, trying to exploit the kindness and the mercy of God, his waiting and his patience. We use those to say, look, it doesn't really matter. We even say things like, well, it doesn't matter because I didn't hurt anyone. You may have heard that used a lot in our society. But the truth is that those things do hurt the heart of God as well as hurting you in the most important way, the eternal sense. So what you do matters. When we do something, it has an effect, cause and effect. Likewise, when we choose not to act, if we choose not to protect, if we choose to ignore, if we choose to be complicit, if we choose to look the other way, it still has its effect. There's still cause and effect. What we do matters, or should I say what we don't do matters also. Just kind of to borrow from Yoda, try. There is no try. Do or do not do, but there is no try. And so, you know, what you do matters. There's not any try about it. It's what we do that matters. And over again, in the Bible, God tells his people, listen, I want to bless you. I will bless you, but I will not bless open defiance. In fact, one of the ways that term defiance is translated in the Old Testament is specifically what's called the high-handed sentence. When you raise your hand to God and you just say, talk to the hand. That's the new vernacular today. We would say, talk to the hand, or waving at God without all your fingers. Whatever. It's that expressed attitude that says, look, God, you're not going to tell me how to do anything. So when we do that, God says, okay, you're right. I won't tell you how to do it. You can have whatever you want. You can have it your own way. But when you go your own way, when you choose to go against the things that I tell you, the way that I show you, the way that I've asked you to go, then you reap exactly what you reap, what you've already sown. You get the effect from the things that you do. You reap the curse rather than the blessing, because God is not going to bless your open defiance of him. Now, when we're going in a particular way and the general effect of our life is toward righteousness, it's not like he sits there and goes, oh, you're in, you're out, you're in, you're out, you're in, you're out with everything that we do. Instead, he looks at the overall trajectory of our lives, and that's by how we are judged as being faithful or being in the blessing. It's not because we ever do something, one particular thing wrong, but it's the overall trajectory of our life that matters. And so here's the thing is, God says, I'm going to bless all that. But if you come at me with the high-handed attitude, if you stick your hand in my face and tell me to mind my own business, God will do just that. He will let you, you know, reap exactly everything you've sown. You can have everything you want the way you want it. But the problem is, for most of us, we really don't even understand what that means. So we think, hey, you know, the guy, the married guy, looks over and he sees the pretty girl that he's not married to, and he says, I want that. And so the reality is that he's going to get something that he didn't think that through. She may respond, but what is he getting when he gets a woman who's willing to run off with a married man? And then he's surprised later on when she's not faithful to him, right? I mean, what do you get when, you know, you pursue things that are outside of God's boundaries for your life, and then you get those things, and then suddenly you find out that they hurt you, they cause you problems, you know, whether it is disease or financial ruin or whatever else. The things that come to us when we defy God's laws, when we think that we know better than God or that we're smarter than God, and we reap those things, God's hand of blessing comes off and we get exactly what we deserve. And here's the thing, I tell my kids this all the time. You do not want to get what you deserve. You want to be treated better than that. Just like when my kids are dealing with me, it's important that they understand that they want the daddy blessing. They do not want what they deserve. They want dad to love and to, you know, to support and to give money or whatever else in the way that is a blessing. They don't want to get just what they deserve. Nobody really wants to get just what they deserve. They might think so until they really think it through. So the point is simply this, that it is best to obey the shortest route to blessing, the thing that touches the heart of God and not only affects you, your children, your livestock, and your produce, and otherwise makes you fruitful, is obedience. It's not perfect obedience. It's just simply that idea that God will bless you when you live your life in a direction of obedience. So with all of that said, let me just, you know, summarize simply like this. When we obey, not in a one-for-one sense, but in the general sense, when we obey, it is the heart of God to bless us and to do more for us than we deserve. And the reality is that many of the blessings in our lives are out of God's mercy and kindness. You didn't do anything to earn them, and therefore you can't do anything to lose them. But in those things that are conditional, God says obedience is the key to blessing. Obey me and I will bless you. And then conversely, it's also that simple. If you continually live in defiance, if you ignore the things I ask of you, if you will not obey, if you will not live a life of obedience, and I don't mean just the one-offs and the mistakes that we make and things like that, but I'm saying if we live in an attitude of disobedience, the high-handed kind of sin toward God, the way that we stick our hand in the face of God and say, talk to the hand, when we take on that attitude, God says, I will not bless that. I will lift my hand of blessing and protection off of your life, and you will reap what you sow, and you don't want that. When it comes to obedience, listen, nothing says I love you to God more than to obey. And the heart of God has never been more for you that says, I want to bless you, not to curse you. All right, well, it's all it says about the all it says there in the text, so I don't want to spend a lot of time and you know, go over this again and again. So let's just stand together. Can I have the band and the prayer team members go ahead and come on up? And even as they're coming, let me just ask you the question. Do you want to be blessed? Do you want God to make you fruitful? Do you want to see the blessings of fruitfulness in your life, in your flocks, your fields, your family? You know, and today we live in a different kind of society and culture. You may not be a farmer, but you might be making widgets, or you might be out organizing things or creating systems or whatever. It really doesn't matter what your produce is. It doesn't just have to be the fruit of the field or the fruit of the orchard. It could be the fruit of your other labors. You know, as a pastor, I don't do a whole lot of, planting of fruits and vegetables. I do planting of churches. But I want God to be blessing me in those things. I want to see the fruit of God in my life. And so the invitation to you and I is, do we want to see more of God's favor and blessing in our lives? Then the call to you and I is that when we color outside the lines, when we're disobedient, that we come back to God and we say, you know, God, you are right and I am wrong. I confess my need for you. I'm going to shut down the high-handed attitude and reproach that I've given toward you. And I'm asking for you to bless me. I'm asking for you to work in my life. So I just confess those sins and return to him, because it's his desire for my obedience. He wants me to turn around. He wants me to repent and come back into line with what he's doing in my life. And then to identify those places where I have taken the high-handed approach, where I've wanted things outside of what God has wanted for me, and to just confess that and ask him for his forgiveness. The real question is this: do you want what God wants to bless you with, or do you just simply want what you want? Do you want to get what you deserve? God will let you have either one. He's not, cosmic killjoy. He's not the one who's trying to withhold good things from you. He's the one who is trying to protect you and to bless your life. And so you're welcome to have either one. Listen, we have prayer team members here that are now standing up here with us. And they are available to pray with you. And it's not because they have it all together that they've gone ahead of you and done these things better. They're just simply coming just like you. Persons who are in need of God's grace and His mercy. And they're coming alongside of you as part of the body of Christ to pray blessing into your life, to help you. Maybe they might even have, you know, as they pray with you, they might get a word of knowledge or something like that, have a scripture come to mind that they would share with you or something. But it's not because they're doing it better than you or anything else. It's not because anyone here is going to judge you. They simply want to pray alongside you, with you. You could also do that. You could pray with the person next to you in your row. You could pray with a family member or a friend that you came to church with this morning. But you could come on up here and get some prayer this morning. And listen, it's not because of anything that they're going to do for you. It's because the God of heaven wants to bless you. He wants you to come in line with obedience. And so I want to ask you, would you come today? Would you come and get some of prayer for those things? Would you just ask the God of heaven to reveal to you where you've maybe gone astray, where you might need help or strength, or where you need His outpouring in your life, where you need wisdom and direction? Just let me ask you, won't you come? In Jesus' name, have a great week. God bless you.